You're listening to Black Girl Blueprint.
Because Black girls did it first.
And honestly, better.
Period.
Welcome to Black Girl Blueprint, your fave podcast for all the Gen Z Black girl tea. My name's Lauren.
And my name is McKean, and thanks y'all for tuning into today's episode.
We've been doing a bit of a coming into adulthood series, I feel like. We talked about, what was it, post-grad feels, and then we had the personal passions too. Now we're talking about living situations, I think.
This is
quite a theme.
It's a lot of, like, I feel like we don't actually break down how bizarre it is to live with for a lot of people to live with a number of different people,
exactly,
possibly strangers, once you graduate high school, once you leave your parents' household, especially for the only children like me.
That's true. Only child syndrome. Listen, and I used to share it.
Listen, like, the only time I shared my bathroom was with my grandma when she was visiting. So this is really a lot. Like, to be in a floor and sharing a bathroom with 20 different girls, it was a lot.
That is a lot, for sure. But even, like, people with siblings, there's something different about having a stranger in your room, I feel like, or just having to adjust to that. The roommate horror stories, living with white people, it's always really interesting. So we're getting into some of that today. We're talking about roommates, also apartment hunting and decorating, living alone, to get into. But first, we have to read the room.
So read the room.
Let them know what the Read the Room is.
Okay, our Read the Room segment, if you're new here for some reason and you're not familiar, is how we start off every show. Some lighthearted little convo before we get into the bulk of our conversation. And we talk about Twitter's tea, we talk about our personal tea, we talk about y'all's tea. Today, it's going to be a lighthearted one. Mm-hmm. As we know, it's been a lot colder. I don't know if you're like me. Like, I was outside this summer, and as soon as it hit like 52 degrees, it was me in my bed. Like,
absolutely.
Me in my bed.
So, absolutely. It's hard to get outside when it's cold, especially when it's dark as well, too. I feel like every winter, we've been doing this for like 2 years now. Yeah. You can always tell when it's getting cold, because I'm just like, whoo, what, on the podcast.
And me and my friends were just talking about the fact that we like all kind of blew our money this summer. Not like blew, but like we're just going to be summer spending.
We were excited to be outside, you know?
Summer spending and moving.
And
as we'll be talking about today, cost money. Absolutely. And it really, like, now I need to, we were talking about, like, this is potluck season. This is like get together movie night season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And movies are expensive though, going outside.
Right. So we're
inside
in the living room.
Indoors. So we want to talk about what we've been watching lately. Also give you guys some recommendations
of all
good shows to get you through the winter, these cold months. So McKean, start us off.
Okay. So lately, I mean, in the spirit of being an adult and living your adult life, I've been just finished binging, and I'll say binging loosely because I've been watching it since like January.
Absolutely.
But I just rewatched in its entirety Living Single.
I
just finished it this past week, and it was like actually so sad. And they like, they live in Bed-Stuy like me, and like it's all of them, their group of friends, like, you know, just being in their like the late 20s, early 30s in New York City, and like doing the thing. Queen Latifah's hair, beautiful.
Like, I just want to watch it for Queen Latifah.
Their apartment decor, incredible. Like, the style, absolutely everything. It was great. So that was like sad. I actually was really sad when I ended it.
Makes sense.
Also been watching The White Lotus, the new season.
Okay, I've heard that. That's like also recommended.
Genuinely the best TV I've seen in a while. Like,
really,
I can't lie to you. Maybe I'm gassing it, but I just feel like the writing is almost like theatrical. It's like a play.
Love.
Like, the drama is so like classic, and it's like plot, you know, it's like a very basic, like, I don't know, this season the plot is someone is dead, like, and you won't find out presumably until the end
of season. I love a show like that.
How it worked. But it's so mystery. Like, complex and like socially relevant, and like, I don't know, it's just like white people being cringy, but like to a T, like,
when it's done well. White people stay in their lane, and it's done good.
It's for real. So I recommend.
Okay.
Fully.
For sure. Okay.
And what's on the horizon, I will soon be binging, is Blood and Water.
Okay.
I think I talked about this last year, but I was watching it around this time last year. It's a South African drama, teen drama.
I heard about this one.
On
yes.
Netflix. I remember. Incredible. Like, great TV, black girl lead, like young black girl lead at that, Gen Z black girl lead.
Okay.
Very great.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Great recommendations.
Thank you.
Okay. What have I been watching? I don't know if I mentioned this, but speaking of emotional support sitcoms, I was watching Girlfriends for a while, and I did finally finish it. It got weird towards the end.
No, the last season,
they lost it.
Let's just say for black sitcoms, that's the norm, because Living Single's last season was also just like,
and just in the middle. Just
they said, wrap it up.
They said, get out of there. But it held me down, honestly. for my like beginning of fall month. So mm-hmm. I would recommend it to get through the winter. I always say a good sitcom, Community. Have you ever watched Community?
No.
I really like Community.
I've never even heard of that.
It's what's his name? Donald Glover.
Oh.
Childish Gambino. He was in it.
Oh.
Pre-Atlanta.
It's not Atlanta. I was like,
no, pre-Atlanta. It's like, I don't know. It's like a group of people. Also, homegirl from not homegirl, sorry, she's my elder. Let me stop. Did you ever watch Drake and Josh?
Oh, no, I know exactly what you mean. I don't know her name. No.
I don't remember.
Yeah, the black name. Yeah.
Yes, I love her. Mm-hmm. It's just so funny. And I feel like especially if you really like film and TV, it has like a lot of like film and movie references. Abed, I feel very seen by. I love him. That's not going to make sense. But okay, the character is also well written. I think it's very good.
Noted.
Have you seen Fleabag? Also,
someone was just telling me about this. Is this a white, like, British lady show?
It is a white British lady.
I think I watched the first episode. Zoe was, like, gushing about it or something.
Yes, it's good. I think the second season I like more than the first season, and it's only like 6 episodes and they're like 20 minutes. I like watch it all in one sitting as if it's like a 3-hour movie. It's like really good. I just got 2 of my friends to watch it. If you want to see like a white British lady fucking around doing her little thing, it's fun. Listen, what else? You're like Abbott Elementary.
Yes.
I feel like every Thursday, like for my lunch break at work, I'm just like, let me ground myself and watch Quinta.
Absolutely. No, Abbott has been I watch it religiously weekly.
Absolutely.
Like, she has 22 episodes this season, so she got me locked in.
She's so happy about it. So locked in. It's so good.
Yes.
I feel like those have been some of my main watches. Nice. I May Destroy You is another thing that I watch. Not an easy one, but definitely so good.
Oh,
I love
it. Finally, weren't we talking about this like 2 seasons ago?
I May Destroy You.
So yeah,
it's only 1 season of I May Destroy.
I know,
You.
No, 2 podcasts.
Oh, so true. I haven't seen Insecure. Maybe that'll be my next.
Yeah, we need to make Lorna a list. But you've given me some good ones for my list. I appreciate it.
That's
Thank
fair.
You. You're welcome. Shall we just move into the conversation?
I feel so. We have a lot to get into.
Yeah, let's talk about roommates, y'all.
Yeah, we wanted to start with some horror stories. And I guess it's also part of the Read the Room, technically, because we got y'all to send us some tea. Some of your horror stories. Some of these were gnarly. I was like going through reading them. A hot mess.
It's rough.
I feel like the first one, starting off strong. This girl, she tweeted in that her roommate saw that she was black and just immediately moved out. And I feel like, I wish my racist roommate did that. Honestly, I had one. I thought we were going to wait until we got to get into it now, actually.
You had a racist roommate, tell us.
My junior year, this was like the not post-COVID, but you know, like we had the COVID summer, we were gone. Mm-hmm. They put us with a bunch of strangers and it was just this girl, this white girl from Brazil. And she just called me aggressive, I think, at one point, or like said that she thought I would fight her. I don't know. She said the N-word in Portuguese. Like, she was just like bar for bar.
Oh my God.
Was just like always finding a reason to be upset. And we were like so nice to her. It's like 2 black people, 1 white girl as well, but she was an ally,
my
little white writer type. But it was still like she just was so passive aggressive, and eventually she moved out, honestly, because we had to complain. Yeah. After she had the N-word in Portuguese, we were like, we can't do this living situation anymore. Colombia, no help ever. They were just like, you guys can move out, but we can't make her move out. And I was like,
so do you have proof that she wrote like, I am racist, and signed it?
Stop. It was a hot mess.
That is horrible. I'm so sorry.
But she ended up moving out and it was great. And it was just the 3 of us for a while, but she could have saved us a lot of emotional stress if she just saw it and was just like, this is not for me.
Right.
And I've been like, respect your boundaries.
Right.
And, like, get out of my house.
Thank you for knowing yourself, knowing your strengths, knowing your weaknesses.
She was silly. Gosh.
I mean, at least we love when God takes the trash out.
No, for sure. Yeah. We ended up seeing her like the senior dinner for a while. And yeah, my friend did flip her off. It was like a thing. It was fun. It was, you know, for college.
You know,
it's a giggle.
But okay, well, back to the Twitter submissions. Someone, speaking of trash that was not taken out, someone's roommate put a pad on in front of her.
Like, she was like,
wait, I'm like trying to imagine this. I know we wrote this down. What?
I think what the tweet was saying is that she just needed to put on a pad, and she just like in the middle of the room just decided to put her pad on. I feel like, okay, what we wanted to talk about here was like the concept of like nudity in spaces. I feel like I'm okay if like, you know, you change the room. Seeing my roommates in their underwear doesn't bother me. Even like topless, I feel like I'd be okay with that. Pads and tampons,
it's like a lot.
That is a lot. I feel like I would also, was it in the bathroom?
Also, well, I imagine this is like a roommate. Like, well, right, it doesn't matter if you're doing it in front of her. Like, what?
That's. I feel like I would just put my pad or tampon on.
Like, close the bathroom door. Yeah. No, this had to be like in the living room or a bedroom that they shared.
Right? Or like in like a even like the dorm room.
Regardless, it's a little nasty.
Right? I feel like that's a lot. That's a,
like, where did you get the last one?
Yeah. In the trash in the room. That would be not. Imagine a pad or tampon in your bedroom trash can.
I'm good. It was like, I'm so good off that.
That was a lot. Uh-huh. That was. Yeah. Okay. We'll move on to the next one after that. Last thing was just the roommates with boyfriends. And I feel like I feel like I'm guilty of this. There was a time when I did have a boyfriend who would be around and about, which I feel like was fine in moderation.
Yeah, it's always about like the
how they the vibes.
Frequency and the vibe. Yeah.
I agree. Did you have any horror stories of roommates bringing boyfriends around?
Honestly, no. I think partly because my first year dorm roommate, like, she would not have, I don't know. She was just, like, very committed to the books.
Shout out my freshman year. She was in the STEM program. She was in C's. She didn't go outside.
I graduated, like, early. Yeah, she was so smart.
Good for her.
Go girl. And then my other roommates, like, my second year dorm, we didn't even have a common area. And, like, the dorms were just too small. So it wasn't, a place where someone could hang out. And then my third roommate was, and we didn't have any problems either, but I have heard from my friend, she had one roommate whose girlfriend was always over, all the time, and would be there when the roommate wasn't present.
That's
The girl would go to, the roommate would go to class, go to work, and the girlfriend would just be there all day.
That's a lot.
Eating, cooking, using their, stovetop stuff, and not washing the dishes. My friend controlled the Wi-Fi. She used to see her name on the Wi-Fi and kick her off.
Kick her on the Wi-Fi.
But so then they hit her up and they were like, she gotta chime in. Like, she's using all our toilet paper, all of our dish soap, everything. So she gotta chip into the
room. She better pay rent.
That's absolutely insane. So absolutely. There's definitely a line. Like, if your significant other has a place for you, I go there sometimes.
Give and take.
Or you just have to keep that in mind. You don't live alone. No, especially if you share a bathroom and share supplies and I don't know.
No, that's fair. No, that's also fair. I feel like just be considerate. That's how to be a good roommate.
Yeah.
I feel like this isn't necessarily a boyfriend that was over, but someone told me that they basically freshman year, one of the roommates had thrown an orgy in their room. And they didn't tell them that it was gonna be an orgy or a sex party. This is in Carmen for anyone listening from Columbia.
Oh my god.
Wild freshman year parties. But the next day, we just found a random bra on her bed. And it wasn't from
I guess it's the best place could go.
I suppose. Could have been a lot worse. But
that's horrible.
I feel like it's gnarly.
Shoot, I'm good off that. I'm good. That's I feel good. To other things. I had one friend whose roommate was 10 years older than her. So a grown woman. And one day she woke up to go to class, my friend, and there's shit on the floor in front of the toilet in the bathroom, just there. And the girl left it there.
Was it a big plop?
My friend had to clean it up because she needed to use the bathroom and the roommate was gone. Just left it there. Left the apartment and left shit on the floor.
Did you explain?
And she basically is
she missed the toilet.
She said, I have Crohn's disease and for that reason, I can't control her. And I also can't clean it up. We also use Crohn's disease as their reasoning for not doing dishes or anything.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what Crohn's disease is. Does he have something?
Wow.
Anyways.
Yeah. That was a lot.
Yeah. Wow. So, and mind you, this is a 35-year-old.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's your big age.
She also, the same person, she said, I'm sorry, all your business girl. But the same person left town. And it just left a note and was hey, here's how to care for my cat. I was gone for a month. So honestly, no roommate's horror story I've had can even compare to that.
I can't believe she looked at it and walked out. That takes so much audacity. I feel in any other circumstance, I'd have to respect it. But
leave it there. Anyway,
we gotta move on. I feel like nothing's gonna ever top that.
No, yeah, she won.
Yeah, she got it.
She lost. She lost
big time. Anyway, let's get into us a little bit. So, how did you feel moving out? You're an only child.
Yeah, I am an only child.
So did you want to leave? Well, you were in your mama's house.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't in a rush to leave. Mm-hmm. I was hypercognizant of the perks of living in my parents' household while I was still there. Because I would had older friends and I would go to their dorms and it would be nasty. And I was like, I toured the dorms when I went to visit the school and I was like, ew, I'm going to have a shared bathroom with 20 people. Like,
that 20 people is a lot. I did not have any. And it's
like the girls would be barefoot. Like, I would the fact that I cherished my, I remember my last shower barefoot before I went to college.
Stop.
I was like, I know I'm
cherished mine.
I know I'm cherished those flip flops. So it was, the bathroom is the biggest adjustment. It was that. And also just like learning that people have their own ways, you know, like, it's not, I didn't have a dirty or messy roommate, which was, I was grateful for, but like, it was just so interesting, like the ways we differed in like our cleaning standards and like what constitutes messy and like what's reasonable for noise. Like all of those were nuances
to navigate.
And I used to, I'm so petty. Like, and I was, it was so hard for me to adjust. If she would like laugh and I was trying to focus, I'd be tight.
You hating her joy.
But then I had to like settle down.
Yeah, that's only child syndrome there.
She can laugh, she can breathe, right, like it's fine.
That's right. Little get me though, I'm grateful I never had a snorer for a roommate. I feel like that's one of my little pet peeves. I think my sleep is very important.
No, absolutely. And like that sharing a room, like a room
for a whole something else, it's a lot. Did you ever have to do that?
Yeah, I had double my freshman year. Like
so did I.
Bed right across from me, like wake up looking you in the eye.
Okay, so they just put you with someone that you don't
know.
And I just find that in retrospect to just be such a concept, you know.
It's actually insane. There's especially like, with COVID having happened, like I don't even know how they do it now, but like I think they do the same thing.
I think they do.
Yeah, my advice to anyone navigating a possible double or triple dorm room or even a single that shares something, put, when you fill out that interest form, say that you're super clean, you don't like no noise.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter.
Set your boundaries from the beginning. No,
say it's the extreme.
Yeah, say it's the extreme. Like, you don't want any type of thing. Yeah. That's fair.
Like,
that's
even fair. If you're absolutely a little lenient, like, but super clean.
Super clean. That's
like,
fair.
Likely if you're Black, I'm not saying every Black person is the same, but like,
but that's, there's like different standards.
If you are Black, you probably are super clean, even if you don't know it.
That's fair. That's a good killer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish I had done that. I think I don't have any horror stories definitely of any messes. Even my freshman year roommate, she was very sweet. But I did think it was interesting to just wake up looking at someone. Or we had very different sleep schedules, I think. In freshman year, I was trying to be in my little, you know, my little party.
Right.
She was about the books all the time. So I come, she's sleeping. But also, I would be napping in the middle of the day because that's the way that my class schedule was.
As you do.
And this is what does. Mm-hmm. But just little things like that. I don't know. Learning how to navigate living with someone.
That's valid.
Is hard.
I feel like it's also different. Like when you're at home, you're free to like dip from your room and go to chill in the living room. Like I'm going to go do work at this dining table. And then I'm going to like go chill in my bed. And then I'm going to like sit on the couch and watch TV.
Yeah.
Whereas like in college, especially the earlier years before you maybe have an apartment or something. It's just like,
it's just your room,
just your room. And it's like everything. You're supposed to do everything in here and navigate any other differences in schedule or in habits with someone else doing this, their everything in that same room.
Same room.
It's crazy.
I love the difference in decorations though with
rooms. Right, the line.
That was huge. I had stuff on my walls like a little bit.
Yeah, so I did a little something, but I was just like, okay, I'm ready to get out. So.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like I never fully settled in, so my room would be bare walls.
Right.
It was like, it was not good.
Pictures going up in the spring semester always.
Yeah, that's fair. Fair. Were you, did you have any roommates that you were like friends with or like close with? Because I feel like that can also be a hard thing to navigate, which I realized later, I cherished having my freshman year roommate where we were like just roommates, which is such a specific relationship. Like you cohabitate, but there's like a certain line.
Agreed.
Versus living with my besties later, I'm just like, now we gotta navigate conflict.
No, I like my freshman year roommate, we were not like homies. We're not really friends now. We were never like not friendly though, and I think that was perfect. Like for me, that was
perfect dynamic.
Like I think I've definitely lived with some of my besties. Long story short, we are not, some of us are not besties now. Two of us are still besties, but two have been lost to the cause.
It's hard.
And it's rough. Like I think there's some things that you don't actually need to know about your best friend, and there's some conversations you actually don't need to have. I think friendships can be so like challenging enough at this time of our lives as we come to know each other. And then also having to navigate those like inevitably awkward, inevitably tense conversations about your, at least a little bit tense.
Yeah.
Sometimes, maybe not inevitably, but often tense conversations about like how to cohabitate,
yeah,
alongside how to be friends and like how to engage with each other socially. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot. That and you learn shit about people that sometimes you don't, it makes it hard to be their friend.
That makes sense. I feel like living brings up so much vulnerability even.
It does.
You're just seeing people at their rawest. Yeah. People come home and like this is their place where they are aligned. Even having another person in your space like is, can be a stressor, mm-hmm, for some people, but also even if that's your favorite person in the world,
right,
that can be tense in a relationship. You have different expectations for how much you should be hanging out.
Space
with each
to
other.
Give each other, yeah.
You know, because especially if you are friends, people assume like, okay, now we're together.
Now we're hanging out.
And if you don't have that conversation beforehand, that can be hard.
It's a lot.
And also having someone in your space and then you have a tense communication, it's like now that's even harder because, mm-hmm, I gotta come out in the living room and see you. And that's bad for a friendship, you know, not being able to take space when you need it.
It's horrible when you reach, like, if you're going through something and you, like, wait until it's quiet to, like, leave, you know?
If I ever get to that point, I'm like,
you don't want that.
I
want that.
No.
Trust me.
I know. No, at that point, you know. Best friend, honestly, shout out Kai, love you. But, like, there was at one point where we were, like, a little tense and we couldn't last a week. We were, like, you're right there. I'm like, we have to have the conversation.
Right.
And I think if you don't have that open line of communication, it'll get real rough.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay, what are your pet peeves? What are the things that, like, just
hurt
me? Absolutely not.
I feel like you got to respect my sleeping hours. Mm-hmm. I feel like stomping is one thing.
Ooh.
I didn't even know was a pet peeve.
Agreed.
Until it
just started. Do you mean legit stomping or heavy walkers?
I don't know if this person that I'm thinking of is a heavy walker or if they are legitimately stomping, but it sounds like stomping.
No, I know exactly what you mean and agree.
I'm just like, I don't know. Or like just not being considerate of like noise, I think, in general. Because I feel like I'm a pretty reasonable person when it comes to that. So if I'm complaining, you're doing a lot.
Yeah.
And it's very excessive.
It's just like boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
Yes.
I have somebody like that.
Like it's when I've had like people staying over be like someone started stomping in the middle of the night. Now I'm embarrassed. I'm just like I gotta give a whole explanation of who this is.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. I feel like other than that, I think leaving a mess gets me, especially like kitchen things. Mm-hmm. To be fair, haven't always been the best about like cleaning up like immediately, but if you're leaving something for too long, then it starts smelling.
No,
you're doing too much, you know?
Absolutely.
No. I'm like,
agreed. Mm-hmm. I agreed on most of those. Mm-hmm. I also hate a loud walker, like walk lightly, especially it's just like, what are you doing out there? Like, boom, like what, we have people that live under us, like, stop. I think I also am, for me, this is, I think, something about me in general, but I hate when I have to like prompt you to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've had people that I've lived with that will just like tell me that something is broken or like, you know, it's just like,
it needs to
what should we do about XYZ that's like not working? I'm just like, what do you think we should do? Like, or what do you, like, have you thought about me? So I hate like that, like prompting or like even to like, I shouldn't have to remind you about like, I mean, the rent here and there, if you forget, but like, it's just like,
you shouldn't have to remind anyone about rent.
Like, you should just like go, you know, it should be automatic. Like, I think also for me is definitely a dishes in the sink specifically for too long type of thing. Also, someone who does it, like in the same vein of what I was just saying, someone who does it, like, I don't know, if I'm always the one taking out the trash or like I'm always the one like refilling the toilet paper when we're both using it, it's just like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, who's going to do it? You know,
and I think it sucks when you become like the person who will expect you something because you're like the the clean one, because you know if you don't do it, no one's gonna do it,
right?
You know?
Right,
and they know that you will do it.
And I'm like hearing my mom every day, like,
oh, stop. Do you think you're a good roommate though? Would you want to live with you?
I think I would. I mean, I think I would live great with me.
That's fair.
But I feel like, I don't think I'm a bad roommate. I definitely could see how maybe someone could be annoyed to live with me.
Say, what would be your red flag to think of?
About me? Yeah. I mean, depending on your own habits, like, I can be very particular. And I've realized recently that some of the ways in which I'm particular are just things that were standard for me growing up that I'm realizing, like, were not standard for a lot of people. Like, I don't know. It's nothing crazy, but it's just, like, I'm cleaning weekly. To me, in my head, like, I don't know, we shouldn't have to establish that.
Okay.
In my head, it's like, you gotta clean by Sunday at some point.
Okay.
Something gotta be cleaned up, like, in my head. So I think it's also been, like, a learning process of like having the actual conversation, not making assumptions about what people and like coming to the standards agreement. So I think for that reason, I think I'm doable.
Are you a chore chart person?
I'm not anymore. I think if you live with a certain amount of people, you need to be.
That's fair.
Like in my experience, at least, like if I live, but now it's just the two of us. Like I don't have a chore chart. It's just like, I'll do the kitchen one weekend. I'll do the bathroom the next weekend. Like we'll just boom, boom, boom. In my head, that makes things work best. Cause I also don't like a deep clean all the time. Like if you clean regularly, you don't need a deep clean. So I don't know. Long story short, I think I would be a good roommate.
Okay.
I could understand though how some people should live with me.
That's fair. I feel like you know the type of person that you should be living with. Yeah. That's fair.
I've learned through fire,
trial, and tribulation.
That's fair.
I've been
through it.
That's fair.
That's
fair.
This is my testimony.
That's fair.
I'm on the other side.
No, you made it through. You made it through. Look, you're king.
No, we made it out.
All right. Well, speaking of making it out, actually, we're not in the dorms anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Amen.
You got a nice apartment, you know?
Thank you.
What was it like coming up in this, I don't know, decorating big girl apartment? How did it
was real nice when we found it. It really hurt when I had to pay the security and first month. Like, right. I don't know. I just was so shocked.
It's like a so huge much
lump of money. Uh-huh. So that was really shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Actually moving in New York City is also horrible.
No car.
And like moving furniture like is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So that was rough. But once I was here, I was so happy. Like even before things were set up, even my plants are like thriving here. Like they it just feels great. I love it. I'm so happy.
You get such good stuff. Did you have like a checklist of things that you wanted beforehand?
Yeah. And I have, like for the apartment itself.
Or like what you wanted in an apartment and like
it was really light.
Okay.
And like I wanted a modern apartment. I wanted an actual kitchen with countertops. I said my bar was like something that I could cut onions on. Like these New York City kitchens, like only we have rooms for the appliances and no counter
cuts to beat me in Manhattan.
It was rough. So and that was really it. I mean, I wanted if I could get a gym in the building or like an outdoor space or something, like that was ideal. Yeah, and central AC.
Yeah, that was so much fun.
Yeah,
no, that makes sense. That makes sense. I feel like I had some of the same things. I think it was just figuring out how expensive furniture was that really got me. I think the most important thing for me in living in this like transitionary moment or beginning of adulthood moment is like remembering that this is the beginning of a long time.
Yeah,
like this couch that I'm spending hundreds of dollars on that doesn't make sense, or this rug, a rug more than $100, like be so fucking for real.
Why are the rugs that I want $3,000?
Exactly. I'm like, only the ugly ones cost a little bit, $100, but like I don't want to pay more than that. I've been really reckoning with how cheap I am.
Yeah,
honestly, no, trying to do this even understood. Like with like the multiple plies of toilet paper, I should have respected that more. My mom always made sure
you bought one ply.
No, I have to pay more for the extra plies.
Right.
Are you do you judge people?
Yes. That's my other roommate pet peeve.
You
cannot buy one ply toilet paper. I'm sorry.
People what am I shitting on the floor?
Am I gonna like hurt myself?
No.
I don't know.
Fair, but yeah, so like thinking of this as like investing in myself or like investing, you know, like even like the posters, like building a home,
yeah,
I think has been really good for just thinking about, I don't know, like this adulthood and like building a living situation. Even like my roommate and I, we finally like decorated this middle room that we were using for storage, and I got a little keyboard
cute.
To put in there.
And nice,
like seeing my little trinkets up on the walls, it's like starting to feel more
homey.
Yeah. You know, especially because I got rid of so many things when we graduated.
Yeah.
It's like nice to like decide and pick and choose what to own and like build a new place.
I feel like in the same vein though of like sort of being cognizant of being adults and the fact that things will have longevity, because with dorms you aren't buying furniture, you're given what most of the stuff in your room will be. So having the choice of like things that are cute and things that bring you joy visually are nice. But I think also one thing I've had to remind myself, actually one of my friends had to remind me of, is like, girl, just because you follow these influencers and interior design places and go to these expensive vintage furniture stores does not mean you need to be buying the like top level
rug.
Like we're still 20.
We are so young. Absolutely.
You know, like you still have time to, the things you own right now won't be the things you own forever, but they should still be things that you would be okay with having for a decent amount of time. So it's like a balance of like remembering where you actually are, especially, I think just, I feel like with a Pinteresty,
you the know, culture,
influencer
I know
world you where like, it doesn't care how much your income is. Like it'll show you the things
that you like. And they're the beautiful though. And they are so, so tempting.
Oh my God.
Yeah. and you can't afford them, and that'll do it.
But anyhow,
it's been nice. I feel like adjusting to living. I feel like working from home has also been really interesting too. Or like even like, I don't know, moving from like dorm life, and like there was always just so much more people around. And then sometimes I come home now to an empty house, which is like so peaceful, and I cherish
it's so nice, quiet,
and I can like put on a Kindle, just play some music, do my thing, and I feel like such a big girl. Also, sometimes it's lonely though. Like I miss having my besties close,
like
by.
within reach.
Like I mean, they're on the other side of the world, and also just like something about communal living. But it's just like beautiful to have people in your home to eat dinner with, you know, or like to chat with over dinner. So I think I miss, I mean, I have a roommate, but she's not around that much, which is, again, people are just like, oh, that must be so nice. But it's
sometimes it's not nice.
Sometimes it's nice to have people around. But I mean, I have other friends, and it's nice to go and hop around to other friends' houses and see different parts of the city.
I hear you. I feel like in that vein, I feel like one thing that I do like is hosting to an extent. I like having people over, especially this season, as we mentioned, a potluck girl for sure. So I want
that about you.
But also, I think the thing that's been weird, and maybe this is a newer thing or an apartment building thing, but like I don't actually know my neighbors. I've met a few of them and will say hi very briefly, but it's like there isn't community in the building, like you said. And it's like it's kind of sad. It's like, aw, and I hope that'll change with time, but like
maybe
it's, you know, it also just is
and like adults, honestly, like we've talked about this before, we did a whole episode, like making friends as adult is harder. You know, when people don't want to talk, myself included, my neighbors had to talk to me first for sure.
My mom like introduced me to one of my neighbors when she was 15.
Of course she did. I love your mom for that.
Like this is
I feel like the only way I'll talk to my neighbors is if they have a cute dog. Like the dog comes and runs up to me and like,
in the elevator together.
And if I go back to the dog. No. I mean, yeah, it'd be nice to host, especially now that we have the space for it. I feel like that's what I wanted to do before. But I feel like that's all good.
Okay. Oh, well, here's to Friendsgivings and hosting and whatever. I didn't have one.
I had like a mini one. Bigger ones, but it didn't happen. So we just had like pumpkin pie and apple pie, and we put on these cocktail dresses that we've been waiting to wear. And it was just the three of us, and we ate it in bed.
I love it.
It was sweet. But
no, I love that, all of that. I like, I think it's like fun that we get to cook for ourselves and like
be adults.
Be merry over break bread.
I know, break bread with one of us. Absolutely.
Anywho, in the spirit of giving thanks.
Absolutely.
What are we thankful? Let's do, instead of what we're loving for, which we normally close the episode with, we'll do what we're thankful for.
Okay.
Naturally.
Absolutely.
Do you want to go first? Sure. I can go first. I think I am, I mean, y'all actually started my job, like for real, like in practice, 2 months in. And as much as I'm like rolling my eyes about it, I am grateful to be employed because I have so many things I want to buy right now as Black Friday's about to come. And I am like, I really am happy I can actually buy things. That's probably what I'm grateful for.
Listen, get that salary. I love to start out with like, I would like to.
I need to finish my online shopping after this. So.
As you should. As you should.
But in a more wholesome giving thanks, because I feel like that can't be my only thing. I mean, okay, I got to see my bestie, who I met when I was 5 years old, this past week. I'll be like seeing my dad and all my cousins and my grandma and everything this week. And I'll be spending the weekend with my mom the following weekend. So I think I'm just happy for like love. I feel very loved in my life, which I have, you know, it's tough when you like move away from your people, but like you're quickly reminded of like when you're back, that it's like, oh
yeah,
you can just pick up like where, from wherever we might've left off. That's been nice. I've been enjoying that. I'm grateful for that.
That's very good. What am I grateful for? I feel like some of the same things, for love always. I feel like my little makeshift Friendsgiving yesterday, but also just, I have such great friends that I'm always so thankful for. And I'm going to see my family, my aunt and my cousin in Atlanta.
Nice.
The next week. Also be nice to get out of the cold. I feel like for a week, even though Atlanta might be a bit cold still, but not as bad as it is up here.
Not this bad.
And I'm also thankful for my job too. I feel like we're grateful for employment. You know, it's tough
right out here. All these tech layoffs, everything. I hope y'all are doing okay.
Absolutely.
Like,
I heard about that.
Yeah, it's a lot. So yeah,
grateful for that. I got a grant for my documentary that I'm working on. So it's going to be about the Bahamas.
Congratulations.
And I'm going to get to see my family that I don't get to see that often, even though I'll probably see them for Christmas. So
we love.
I know. And I just got back from Europe for the first time, which was also really fun. So I'm having like win after win.
Yeah.
This week. And I'm grateful.
I'm so happy for you.
And well,
my God.
That's all that we have for you guys today. Yes. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. We hope that you are having a good living situation.
We hope your Thanksgiving was lovely.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I mean, keep up with us on social media in the interim until our next drop.
Absolutely.
On Instagram at Black Girl Blueprint, Twitter at B Girl Blueprint. Hit us up, y'all. DM us, like, tell us what our episode reminded you of. Tell us what he did, what she did, what they did.
Absolutely. Listen, as we've shown y'all here, we will always spill the tea. So if you have some more stories, please let us know.
Yeah.
Also, TikTok, we always forget to mention, but you can find us there at Black Girl Blueprints. You can also subscribe and you can leave us a review.
Little five stars.
And we will see you all whenever it
goes next.
Okay.
Bye.